Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
How 9/11 is still destroying us today, and what we need to do to save America. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist, and your terrorist therapist. Well, Dr. Carol, the terrorist therapist, is on a rampage today because I am so angry about how each year since 9/11, 2001, the media and public commemorations of 9/11 have become less and less. I think you may have been noticing this too, that, you know, there was big fanfare closer to the time that 9/11 happened. And each year, little by little, you know, imperceptibly, almost, it is getting less TV coverage, less radio coverage, less media coverage in general. And, you know, sure, it used to be, remember at the beginning when they used to cover the whole reading of the names at Ground Zero, all of the whole, it took like 3 hours or so, and they covered the whole thing, and it was very emotional. And the point of it is not only to give the loved ones of the victims of 9/11 a chance to say their names and have a pause, and everybody thinks about that person, you know, even if we don't know them, there's that general, you know, you see the person who's reading the name, you see them choked up or crying, or clearly you can see that they are grieving just as deeply today as they did on 9/11. And so it touches us. And so the importance of that is not just to give these people and their loved ones the recognition, but also as a way to help us, all of us, remember 9/11. Now, I'm going to get into why that's important that we remember 9/11 in a bit. But let me tell you what is happening and why I am even more furious this year than all other years. There has just been an announcement that the families of 9/11 victims will not read the names at the memorial this year. And they are blaming this decision on COVID. They sent out an invitation to the 9/11 next of kin. And this is what they said. And instead, they're going to be playing a recording of a past name reading. These are the quotes from Alice Greenwald, who is the president and CEO of the 9/11 Memorial and Museum. And I love that museum, and I love anybody who has not been to Ground Zero and the memorial and the museum, the 9/11 National Museum and the other 9/11 museum, has to go. It is a must for every single American and people from other countries as well, because terrorists are not just trying to kill Americans, but also the West, Western civilization. Anyhow, this is what the little memo invitation, the non-invitation invitation said. Quote, as we continue to develop plans for this year's 9/11 anniversary, our hope is to gather on the Memorial Plaza, adhering to state and federal guidelines as they relate to social distancing and public gatherings, As in the years past, the focus of the commemoration will be the reading of the names. We will not ask family members to read the names of victims in person on a stage this year. Instead, we will use recorded name readings from the museum's In Memoriam exhibition to ensure that your loved one is recognized and remembered. Now, excuse me. First of all, I have been to the museum. It's a fabulous museum. And I have been to, there's one room, a dark room, where you sit and you listen to the names being spoken and being read. And you see the names on a screen on the wall and a picture. And it is very chilling and very emotional and impactful and so on. However, in no way is this like the family members or loved ones of the victims of 9/11. And so, if they are inviting, I mean, here's the hypocrisy. If they are inviting and allowing people to still come to the plaza and be there during this ceremony, non-ceremony ceremony, then why on earth would the family members not be allowed to read the names? It does not make any sense. And I think that this is the ultimate in the diminishment of the commemoration of the anniversary. And in fact, it wasn't just, this is really bad enough, but it was only even going to be worse. To have the lights, you know, usually every year they started doing lights in the sky, these light beams, and on 9/11 as part of the commemoration in the evening. And they weren't even going to be doing that. And then someone, a philanthropist, you know, an individual citizen, said that he would pay for the beams. He would arrange the beams. Now, the reason, the excuse that they gave for not doing the beams was that because of COVID, the people who are involved in the whole, you know, logistics, the whole setup of making the beams cross the sky, setting that up, that they shouldn't be too close to each other, and therefore you can't have the beams, which is, again, preposterous. So I think what happened was, when this man came out and said that he was going to pay for this and arrange for it in a, you know, socially distanced, masked way so that it would be fine, no problems, that basically embarrassed the people who had said that they weren't going to have the beams either. But, you know, this whole thing is just awful, because it represents a trend of trying to make this, trying to forget 9/11, trying to deny that 9/11 ever existed. Now, there's a reason why people deny things. You know, it's just like things in our lives. We each have denial about certain things in our lives. It's about things that are painful memories. We don't want to remember them because they're painful. They cause us to have the same feelings that we had at a particular time when this painful event happened. And so we don't want that. And in fact, that is what denial is for, like why the brain or the psyche, actually, why there's this phenomenon of denial. So, for example, if you had a parent who was abusive or who disappointed you or abandoned you, or you lost your first love, you know, your first true love rejected you, or it could be something even more recent, some painful memory, you know, that's how therapy works. Because when people are depressed or people have other psychological problems, you come to therapy and you talk about your life and you uncover these painful memories. And yes, you may cry and so on, but that is, you know, that helps you to process them. You don't forget them per se, but it helps you to come to terms with them. Well, it's the same thing with 9/11. And we must absolutely never forget 9/11, and I'll be telling you reasons why. But the fact that we are sort of involved in a kind of societal denial, I mean, it's not just each one of us individually, but society, the media in particular, is helping us to stay in denial about all of the impact that 9/11 is on us, and the fact that terrorism still exists, even though we're concentrating on coronavirus and on the riots and the looting and the political divisiveness and all of that, we're, you know, being totally distracted by that, and people aren't thinking much about terrorism, which is all the more reason why this year should have been an even more, an even stronger memorial, and even more out in the media, because the media has done very little to cover terrorism in the, especially in these past few months, ever since coronavirus came around and ever since the riots came around. So it really was more necessary than ever for us to remember the victims, for us to remember how we felt. We all can remember where we were on 9/11, and yet we're joining in this stuffing down, this denial of the fact that 9/11 ever existed. And this is not, it's not healthy for us individually, it's not healthy for us as a society, and we need to change this. So when we come back, I'll be telling you about how 9/11, in case you're wondering why I'm saying that 9/11 is still affecting us, even though it happened 19 years ago, it is still affecting us, and I will tell you how. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show, and I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show. We're talking today about a super important, really a seminal, key, basic thing, important thing. How 9/11 is still destroying us today, and what we need to do to save America, and why we should never forget. So let me tell you, I promised I would tell you about things, how 9/11 is still impacting us today, because a lot of people, particularly the media, as I was talking about before, and anyone who's in denial, a lot of people want to forget it and deny it because it's very painful to remember that day. What are the things, you know, why should we bother? Why can't we just forget about it, right? Okay, well, before coronavirus started, there has been, and now it's increasing since coronavirus, but from 9/11 on, there has been an increase in a lot of negative things in America. For example, the obesity epidemic. When 9/11 happened, we all were stuffing ourselves with comfort food. Remember those statistics about how much pizza eating was increasing and so on? Chocolate, you know, whatever your comfort food is, those kinds of foods were increasing. So we then ended up with the obesity epidemic. And of course, now it's increasing. We have an increase in alcohol and drug abuse, an increase in cutting, an increase in anxiety and depression, and PTSD, and even suicide. So those things were all increasing since 9/11 and before coronavirus, which now, of course, is adding to all of these problems. PTSD. There were studies done after 9/11 that showed that people who watched hours upon hours of the Twin Towers falling, even if they were nowhere near New York or Pennsylvania or Washington, D.C., nowhere near a particular site of the terror attacks of 9/11, they developed PTSD, along with, of course, the people who were at these sites, closer to these sites, who had more exposure to what happened at these sites. So, you know, of course, when 9/11 happens, I mean, you know, one thing, the anniversary happens. Yes, that does trigger some of these things in people. But the importance of this is worth any kind of pain that we need to suffer in remembering. Because only if we remember these things can we do something about it. Now, let me just tell you also about how 9/11, another impact, how 9/11 has caused us to feel like abused children. Now, children who suffer physical abuse feel, of course, it's never their fault, you know, any kind of abuse is never a child's fault, but children blame themselves for it, even though, of course, it's the grown-up's fault, any kind of abuse, it's the grown-up's fault, but children blame themselves for it, and they feel shame, and they feel self-loathing. That has what has happened to a lot of people in America, that we have been cowering to some degree, cowering. Just like a little child, if you can picture a child in a corner who is being abused by their parent, let's say with a strap or just their fists or whatever, that has made some of us more than others and some institutions more than others cower. And that contributes to what is happening in our streets. So, in fact, let's go there. Let's talk about how things happening in politics and in the riots also relate to 9/11. For one thing, when 9/11 happened, the both adults and, you know, people who were adults at the time, and then children, people who were children at the time or who weren't even born yet, in other words, people who grew up with parents who had been alive during 9/11, are feeling helpless, both the adults who were adults at the time of 9/11 and the people who either weren't born yet or who were children and grew up with parents who were suffering from this feeling of helplessness because of 9/11. That has affected everybody. I don't know, I kind of explained that in a complicated way, but in other words, anyone who was alive at the time of 9/11 felt helpless with this sudden horrific attack. And anyone then who was born or grew up with such parents who were feeling helpless, the parents communicated, the children absorbed this helplessness from their parents. And that is why they are, these children who are now, you know, teenagers or young adults, or that is why they are so eager to embrace socialism, because they want big brother, big mother, big father, somebody to take care of them, to feed them and diaper them, because they have absorbed this sense of helplessness from their parents growing up in the shadow of 9/11. And in terms of the riots, I mean, so that is, you know, we have a combination of, I mean, you know, as much as the people who are involved in the peaceful protests, the so-called peaceful protests, and the riots and the looting, as much as they would have us believe that this is just all about rooting out racism. There are, in fact, terrorists involved behind 9/11, rooted, embedded in 9/11, embedded in the riots. And this feeling of, you know, this desire for socialism is also embedded in the riots, the rioters and the looters and so on. So that is what, that is an impact of 9/11 that is still carrying over as well. You know, that's on a societal level, as opposed to, or as compared to, or in addition to, the individual things that have been affecting us, like I was talking about, the obesity and the alcoholism and so on. Now, a few, two or three 9/11s ago, anniversaries ago, Pence, Vice President Pence said that 25% of our country was not born during 9/11. So what that means is that they can't feel terror in the way that people who were alive at whatever age felt it on 9/11. And that is very important because there's nothing, you know, ask yourself, I mean, when you read about things in the history books, like World War I, if you weren't alive during World War I, you know, or any kind of any historical event, if you weren't alive then, you can learn all about it in the history books, but you don't feel it, you know, you don't, it isn't in your bones like something is that you have or are going through. And that means that we have to work all the harder to talk to kids about terrorism, kids and young adults, you know, people who weren't alive then, to get them to understand that this isn't just something, I mean, unlike World War I, for example, not that there aren't going to be perhaps some other future world wars. I mean, there are. It's the terrorism is the world war. But in any case, we have to explain, be able to try to get them to feel it in their bones so that they know how urgent and important it is to do something to protect themselves and the country against future terror assaults, terror attacks. People are, you know, we're so distracted by coronavirus and the riots and the looting and the political divisiveness and soon, you know, in the election coming up and so on, that people are not thinking about terrorism or terrorists, but terrorists are certainly thinking about us. And the only reason why we haven't had more attacks during these months of coronavirus is because we haven't been in the streets. Or, like, if you think about terror attacks like in Manchester, the Ariana Grande concert attack, the suicide bomber, there aren't concerts these days, you know, since coronavirus. There aren't groups, crowds where terrorists would normally go to perpetrate a big attack. You know, I mean, yes, there are, and certainly there have still been attacks. I've been talking to you about them in previous podcasts. There are certainly attacks going on in Europe and in other places in the world, absolutely. But I'm talking about in America, people are, you know, it's easier actually for them to deny 9/11 when there haven't been news reports of terror attacks here. Although there have been, you know, individual or small knife attacks and so on, but nothing big enough to make the breaking news. Well, when we come back, I will talk more about this and what we can do, what we need to do to protect ourselves and our countries. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where I'm talking today about how 9/11 is still destroying us and what we need to do to save America and Western civilization in general. Well, before I get into what we can do to save ourselves, let me, since this may be a time, it is often a time when children, you know, the anniversary of 9/11 is a time when children ask their parents and teachers and about 9/11, about terrorism, really. Of course, you know, as I was talking about at the beginning, that's usually when, or in earlier years, when the honoring of the 9/11 victims and the ceremonies, public ceremonies, commemorating 9/11 and so on, when those are more in the media, like they have been, were at the very beginning and have been diminishing every year. But still, there, it is likely that something is going to come up that will make children ask grown-ups questions about 9/11 or about terrorism. So at the risk of seeming self-promotional, I am going to read a few examples of how you can answer children when they ask you these things that come from my book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. So one question would be, a basic question, of course, is if they want to know, you know, if they hear terrorists attacked us on 9/11, they would likely ask, what is terrorism? So this is what a grown-up can say. Terrorism is like bullyism, but it is a threatening plan to push people around carried out by adults, not playground bullies. The word terrorism comes from terror. Terrorists are trying to make you feel terrified. Imagine having to watch a whole lot of scary movies, one after the other. This is how scared they want you to feel. They are hoping you will be too terrified to go to school, play sports, have fun with your friends, go places with your family, or do anything else that makes you happy. They want you to be as miserable as they are. Another question they would be likely to ask, and I'm just picking out highlights of questions and answers from the book, ones that they might be most likely to ask you on this anniversary. The question would be, why do terrorists attack us? So you can say, terrorists want to hurt people who don't believe in the same things they do, like the same God they believe in. They want us to follow their rules. They don't want us to be free or to think freely with our own ideas. Terrorists are so full of hate that they don't know how to talk calmly with us about their feelings, their ideas, their religion, and their reasons for being angry with us. So instead, they just have temper tantrums. Each time they explode a bomb, it is like they are having a big temper tantrum. You know that this isn't the right thing to do, and it doesn't work. If you have a temper tantrum, you don't get your way, do you? Well, the terrorists are not going to get their way either. And then last but not least, here's another example of a question and answer. They might ask you, will there be another terror attack? So, you know, they're hearing about 9/11. Will there be another terror attack? The grown-up can say, there are a lot of people working very hard to make sure there is not going to be another attack. They are trying to find terrorists before they get close to being able to carry out any more damage. And they are punishing terrorists who have done bad things or who are plotting to do bad things. We hope this will stop other terrorists because they won't want to be punished too. But no one really knows if there will be another attack or when or where. I can't promise that there won't be more. What I can promise is to get our family prepared so that if there are any more attacks, we will be as safe as possible. Well, I hope that helps you. Now let me talk about some other things that we need to do and why we need to remember. First of all, you know, coronavirus, even though we're all absorbed, distracted, obsessed with coronavirus and with the riots and with the election, those things will pass. But terrorism is not going to pass. As I've talked about in prior podcasts, and you probably recall, terrorists have been using this time that we have been distracted with all of these other things to recruit more people to become terrorists, you know, because ISIS and Al-Qaeda, they have been putting out all kinds of propaganda on the internet. And since we are now so many more people, so many people are in lockdown with nothing to do, or let's put it this way, with more time to scour the internet, more people are coming across this propaganda. And these are people who are angry, people who are sad. You know, the lockdowns have gotten to us psychologically. We're frustrated, you know, about all the things that have been happening, jobs being lost because of being locked down, and people losing loved ones to coronavirus, and or people being sick. Maybe not, there isn't a super high percentage dying, but even just people being sick and worrying about them and so on, or being kept away from them, being kept away from grandparents and so on in places where they're where they're living, or even if they're living in their own apartment, but not wanting to, being afraid to visit them and spread COVID, that kind of thing. So people are not in a great place. And it is very easy to then be able to persuade them with this propaganda on the internet. People are vulnerable, is what I'm trying to say, to being persuaded by propaganda on the internet for ISIS and Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations. Vulnerable to it, and more time to read it. So you know, whereas coronavirus and these riots and the elections will eventually go away, the terrorists will not. So what do we do now that we recognize that we are being impacted in the ways that I mentioned? I mean, that's the first thing that we do, is to recognize it, you know, like in therapy, the first step to solving a psychological problem is to admit that you have one. So we need to admit that we have been in denial, number one, about 9/11. And we need to admit that it is still affecting us, whether, you know, whatever you can relate to that I mentioned, some of the ways: obesity, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, cutting, anxiety, depression, PTSD, well, not suicide, or you wouldn't be listening, but perhaps you have know someone who committed suicide. So the first thing to do is to recognize that the onset of these problems might well be related to 9/11, and then, of course, to address them. I tell people that we need to think of this. By this, I mean not just the memories of 9/11 and how they're still affecting us, but this ongoing threat of terrorism. The way we have to deal with this is to act as though we are on a marathon, in a marathon. We actually are not necessarily running in a real marathon, physically, actually doing that kind of a marathon, but it's a marathon in terms of outliving in a healthy way, in a way that we can reach our dreams thriving despite living in a world of terror. So if you wanted to be in a marathon, and what would you do? You would make sure that you fortified yourself psychologically and physically. You would psych yourself up, you know, to be able to withstand all the pressure of the race, that when you wanted to quit, or you got tired, or, you know, things were wasn't what you expected, you have to be in a very healthy psychological state to push through whatever is in your path. And that's basically what we have to do, is to be able to get ourselves in a psychologically healthy space to be able to push through what is in our path in terms of the threats of terrorism. And then, of course, physically, if you were running in a race, you would go, you would build yourself up, you know, you'd be at the gym, you'd be practicing running, you'd be building up your stamina physically, and all of that. And you'd perhaps go to the doctor to get a checkup to make sure that you didn't have any physical problems, or those that you did have, you'd start treating them or be more intense in your treatment of them to get yourself in top shape. Well, that's what we have to think of in terms of being able to reach our dreams in a time of terror. We also need to elect leaders who are going to be tough on terror. That has to be one of the primary ways that we decide who we're going to elect, who is going to be toughest on terror. And needless to say, you know, in 2016, it seemed obvious to me, and it has been true, it has been proven true, that Trump was going to be tougher on terror. And in fact, during his 4 years, or 3.5 years even, he has done an amazing job in crushing terrorism. I mean, it's still there. There's no way to totally stomp it out, not at this point. But he has destroyed the caliphate, and he has destroyed, killed, ordered that certain areas be bombed and so on, and killed some of the leaders, the top leaders of terrorist organizations. And that's what we need to think about now. Of all the things, as I said, coronavirus, the riots, of course, that's important too. But of all the things that are most important, or that we most need protection from, or strong action on, it's terrorism. And so, this is the leader. I mean, basically, what I'm saying is we need to elect Trump this time as well. You know, when countries are watching the videos on the internet, that same ones you're looking at, of all of this violence in the streets of America, they are just laughing and celebrating and couldn't be happier, except for those who wanted who wanted to be doing all of this themselves. Don't want our domestic terrorists or our, you know, the people who are rioting and so on, don't want them to take their job, the terrorist job. But still, they are just looking at how much weaker we are making ourselves and how much easier it's going to be to conquer us when there are going to be crowds out in the street to conquer, or at, you know, concerts or various places where they can kill a lot of us at once. Last but not least, I just want to say that even though there is this paucity of celebration and media coverage commemoration, I should say, and media coverage of the anniversary of 9/11, you can do your own commemoration. We can each light a candle to commemorate the victims of 9/11. We can each talk about terrorism with our families and our friends and our colleagues. We can plant a flower, plant something in our garden and make that be a tribute to victims of 9/11. We can pray. There are things like that that you can do. You don't have to, I mean, it's really outrageous that there isn't more being done at Ground Zero, but we can certainly each do our part to remember the victims and to say never again. Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist. If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism4kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.